Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Joshua Youngkin. Today we feature an interview with Dr. Alastair Noble. Dr. Noble is a PhD who studied chemistry and did research at the University of Glasgow. He has taught science in secondary schools. He has advised on curriculum development and was a schools inspector and head of educational services with an LEA, which is like a school board here in the U.S. He worked for short periods on educational projects with the BBC, the NHS, and the CBI. He is currently the director of the recently established Center for Intelligent Design in the U.K. In the following segment, Dr. Noble and I discussed the debate over design in the U.K. with special attention on design in schools there. Dr. Noble begins by introducing the Center for Intelligent Design in the UK.
The Center for Intelligent Design in the UK is at the moment a fairly modest affair, and it is essentially a network of people across the UK who have picked up the intelligent design message and want to give it visibility on this side of the Atlantic. We've had several visits over here from people like Philip Johnson, Michael Behe, Stephen Meyer, and a number of us, working within science, science education, and across the professions, just feel that intelligent design is a position that needs to be better known than it is. And so we have set up this center really essentially dedicated to giving a visibility in the public and as far as we can within academia. So we're determined, we're small, and we're on the way, and we've got a lot to do.
I understand that there are some notable figures who are affiliated or in some way connected to the Center for Intelligent Design. It was told to me that a man by the name of Dr. Nevin also is associated.
Yeah, Professor Nevin, he is an emeritus professor of medical genetics at Queen's University in Belfast. Yeah, Professor Nevin is associated with us. We have a number of people like that. Dr. John Walton at the University of St. Andrews works with us. Dr. David Galloway, who's a medical doctor and vice president of the Royal College of Surgeons here in Glasgow, works with us. And yeah, we have a number of people like that around the UK.
There's been a hubbub about intelligent design involving David Attenborough and also Richard Dawkins. Can you explain for folks what exactly is going on?
Well, yes. This is something that's been essentially led by the British Humanist Association, and a number of fairly prominent scientists, up to 30, including Richard Dawkins and Sir David Attenborough, have produced a statement asking for evolution to be taught in schools at all levels, and also asking that there be government guidance, and I'm quoting, that creationism and intelligent design should not be taught in school science, and that that should be a statutory and enforceable position. And they're saying this needs to be made comprehensive so that it is clear that any portrayal of creationism and intelligent design as science, whether it takes place in science lessons or not, is unacceptable. So, I mean, this is a pretty far-reaching statement and a pretty alarming kind of request. And there are probably a couple of backgrounds to this. At the moment, this affects England largely because in England, the government has, over the last few years, been allowing schools to develop which are out with the normal local authority or, as you would say, school board control. We have academies, and there's a new proposal to have free schools. And the point about them is that they are not bound to the same extent by the national curriculum, which applies to all schools in England and Wales. What they are afraid of is that these schools will redraw the science curricula in a way that makes, as they see it, creationism and intelligent design part of the curriculum. That's maybe one of the immediate reasons for this. But a deeper reason is that there has been a fairly steady campaign over the last 5 to 10 years to try and denigrate and almost outlaw in educational circles intelligent design, which of course is always described in the same breath as creationism. Indeed, it's now fairly common to hear it described as intelligent design creationism. And there's a fairly determined campaign to have this ruled as non-science.
Sounds like the debate then from the humanist side or the secular side has advanced further in their direction than it has in the United States, where Judge Jones, in his opinion in the Dover case, ruled that intelligent design is not science. But nobody has gone so far as to say that it should be banned across the entire country, because Judge Jones' opinion was, of course, limited in scope to just a small part of Pennsylvania. So it sounds as though this organization by secularists to get intelligent design banned across the entirety of the UK is a bit more threatening than what we have over here. Is that your understanding as well?
Well, I suppose it's hard to know just how threatening it is. I mean, there's a bit of a history to this, because we have had over the past few years a campaign to have government issue guidance to schools about intelligent design and creationism. Now, I'm very clear that creationism and intelligent design are different things, but they're always put together, and that's part of the problem, because you've always got to start any explanation by distinguishing these two things. But there's been a campaign to have these described as non-science, and in fact, there is guidance. There is guidance from the Department of Education in England, which says to schools, intelligent design and creationism are not science. However, it goes on to say that if pupils raise questions about these matters in a science class, teachers should know how to handle that and how to explain how science approaches these things, and indeed why intelligent design and creationism are not science. Now, we don't particularly like that, but what's happening here is that they want to go one step further. And they're talking about having an enforced position where intelligent design and creationism cannot be described as science, cannot be therefore debated as science within science lessons. And some of them want to take that a bit further and say, well, not anywhere in the school can it be taught as science. And this all becomes very alarming, very un-British, and completely, I would have thought, contrary to the spirit of science education, because whatever question arises in a science lesson, you would want teachers to be able to deal with it, you know? And I just don't know how you would go about having enforceable statutory guidance to say that these things cannot be presented as scientific theories. But that's what's being asked for. Now, I would hope that this would not be adopted, but there are things being adopted in our land these days that surprise me. And so, you know, nothing would surprise me about this. And certainly there is quite a tide of opinion within our parliament. There have been several early day motions in the House of Commons referring to intelligent design and creationism as not being science. So there's a pretty strong lobby around this stuff. We haven't had a court case like Judge Jones, but I suppose we may have one of these before much longer.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the move here to declare intelligent designs out of bounds from scientific discourse a priori strikes you as un-British. How exactly would you say that that is particularly un-British?
Well, we don't have in Britain the kind of formal separation of church and state that you would have in the US. And so, you know, in our schools, we still have religious education, we still have religious observance, and the idea that certain ideas, because they are perceived to be religious, are not allowed within any part of the school is a kind of un-British thing. You don't do that. You leave these things to the discretion of teachers to know how to handle them. Now, in fairness, some of the people involved in this are saying, well, we're not saying that intelligent design and creationism can't be talked about in schools, but we want it talked about in religion classes. We don't want it talked about at all in science. But the British way with these things has always been to have free academic inquiry, free discussion of these things. And if pupils want to talk about intelligent design or they want to talk about creationism within a science class, then that's the kind of thing that you would expect teachers to handle and to deal with. And this is the first time in my experience that there's an area of science education, indeed an area of public education, that is going to be constrained by an enforceable guideline. And I guess that's what I think is particularly un-British about all of this.
Is there, in your view, mounting or significant support for this sort of ban?
It's very hard to know, and at this point I just wouldn't be sure. I think this is the work of a small but fairly determined group. They've already got in the guidance to teachers that intelligent design should not be regarded as science. And the next step to kind of enforce this in some way, it's a step that I think is certainly possible. I think the majority of educationists are largely ignorant of the claims of intelligent design. Indeed, this is one of the frustrations. It's one of the reasons why we have a Center for Intelligent Design. I mean, most people that I deal with in the education world really don't know what the arguments are. And so they hear 30 prominent scientists saying, this stuff is not science, it's been disproved, it's actually religion. They just accept that as, well, that must be the case, and move on. And so, yeah, it's fairly alarming, and I just wouldn't know where it would go. My hope is that in this country, our government would be sufficiently sensible to say, well, we've issued guidance. The guidance that we've issued is sufficient. We're not going to go for enforcing this. And in any case, how would you be sure that you could do that? So on balance, I think it probably won't happen, but I'm not a betting man, but I wouldn't like to put the mortgage on it, you know?
Now, you said earlier that it's very important to distinguish intelligent design and creationism one from the other. How, for those who don't know the difference, would you do that?
Well, the way we do it is to say, and I'm sure you do the same thing, is to point out that there are a number of questions that arise from scientific investigation. There are a number of questions that are posed by the natural and the living world. And that some of these questions are around, are these things designed, or have they arisen by Darwinian random undirected processes? And I think these are legitimate questions. I mean, I was a chemistry teacher many years ago, and when I was teaching, for example, atomic theory, and this is before I was aware of intelligent design, maybe before the present intelligent design movement had started, you know, young people would talk about atoms, especially senior school pupils. They would ask about ultimate questions about where these things came from. What were they really? How did they hold together? Where did it all come from? Those kind of questions. Now, while those can be deeply philosophical, indeed theological, they are questions that arise out of the science, and therefore it's legitimate to discuss these questions in terms of what the science points to. And I think that has become very clear of recent years when people have been elucidating the fine-tuning of universal constants and forces, the irreducible complexity of living systems. But particularly the issue that has caught my attention most particularly is the whole issue of genetic information carried in DNA, you know, this digitally coded information. It's the science that has told us that that is there. It's the science that enables us to see that that's there, and therefore it's a very legitimate question within science to wonder about the origin of that, which is precisely what Darwin did. He wondered about the origin of these things, and to make the inference to intelligent mind as a possible, indeed a likely explanation, to my mind, is entirely within science. Now, intelligent design is therefore debating the evidence and what conclusions we can draw from it. Creationism, on the other hand, and I have a lot of respect for people who hold a creationist position, but I recognize that it is a religious position. It's a Christian position. It's often associated with the interpretation of passages in the Bible or other religious texts. It has a different starting point, although it does make contact with the data. So to say it very simply, that's a long-winded answer to a pretty simple question. Intelligent design arises out of scientific data. Creationism is essentially a position that arises out of religious belief. And, you know, these two things could hardly be more different.
I see. Now, so is it perhaps then that folks are bristling, not necessarily over the starting points, but perhaps where they end, these two approaches?
Well, I think that is the issue. I think there are people who think that what is happening in intelligent design is just a new clever attempt to get the Bible back into science and the Bible into schools and Christianity back into its former place in the nation and all of that. You know, and I think there are people who don't think very deeply about it who think that's what's happening. This is a kind of subterfuge for something else. And I think the thing that we would like to make headway with is to say, well, actually, no, this is about facing up to very recent discoveries about the living cell, about the nature of life, about the nature of the universe that poses very real questions. But of course, once you start to ask that question, then you very quickly realize that you're starting into the territory that underpins the whole secular worldview of the West. And therefore, I think people very quickly realize that if this position is correct, then of course it brings a whole lot of implications with it that are kind of uncomfortable given where we've got to after 150 years of Darwinism underpinning a very secular worldview. And yes, I'm sure that is a major issue. So it's quite a challenge to try and keep the debate at the level of the science, the evidence, what conclusions we might draw. And what I usually say is, well, let's draw the conclusions and then let others work out the implications.
Now, this issue is stirring up, I believe, in the secondary schools. I'm not entirely sure how the British system is organized, but for us here in the States, that's often referred to, I think, as K-12. Post-secondary or university education is a separate matter in the United States, both as a matter of law and also pedagogically as well. The way people are taught, of course, is different. Free inquiry, for example, at the university level here is a more more respected value, even though you do here have speech codes and things like that. Is there anything equivalent to that in the UK at the university level? Is intelligent design sort of a verboten subject over there?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's not forbidden in a formal sense, but it would be very difficult to get much of a hearing for intelligent design at the moment in universities. And it would be a fairly brave academic, fairly brave lecturer or professor who would put his head above the parapet and talk about it. Now, there are a handful of people who will do that, but I know from a number of contacts that I would have around the country where people would pretty well say, well, look, it might be more than my career's worth to be outspoken about this or to raise this issue. I mean, that's a depressing reality. So it's not, in the universities, it wouldn't be that there's any kind of formal ban on intelligent design, like the kind of thing we're talking about in schools. It's just that the practice would be so against it, and people that venture into it in the universities would be subject to a substantial degree of derision. And this is an incredibly disappointing feature of science faculties in British universities, because once again, you know, the universities are there to go where the evidence leads, to explore any idea and to do it dispassionately. And that would be far from the case. The debate of this stuff in public and in academia is very intemperate, sometimes quite vicious, you know. And I've said this already, it's a depressing reality of where we are. And I suppose one of the things that we feel we have to contribute to this is just to keep this idea alive and to keep working at it and to try and make what inroads we can. But I guess it's a fairly long road ahead.
What can the Center for Intelligent Design UK do, or what is it planning to do, to make inroads into the educational culture in the UK, either secondary or post-secondary level?
Well, you may find this a little strange, Josh, but one of the things we have said is that we are not targeting schools. And that's genuinely our position. We are not trying to get intelligent design into the school curriculum. That's not our primary objective. I think we recognize that school curricula generally follow the consensus, in this case the scientific consensus. And so we're not making schools our target. And maybe we've learned something from the experience of Dover in the US, that that's probably not the place to start. I think what we would like to do is to get intelligent design debated at a university level and in public media. And our hope would be that over time you will shift the consensus sufficiently for this to be recognized as a legitimate debate. But what we are quite strong about is, although we are not actively asking for intelligent design to be taught in the school curriculum, I think we would want to insist that pupils should have the freedom to ask those questions and for those questions to be treated in schools with respect, and for that debate to be allowed if it arises. Because the reality is that young people hear these issues aired in radio, television, they see them in print media, they will want to raise them in school. And the idea that you can't raise this in a science class because there's some enforced position about intelligent design is just ridiculous. So maybe we're a wee bit schizophrenic there, but what I'm saying is we're not actively saying let's change the curriculum. We're saying let's have freedom in schools, as in universities, for any question to be asked and to be debated.
Well, that sounds like a reasonable position, and that's somewhat similar to what we take over here as well. Dr. Noble, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate your presence.
Well, thank you. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
If you'd like to learn more about the work of the Center for Intelligent Design in the UK, please go to www.c4id.org.uk. Again, that is www.c4id.org.uk. As always, you can keep up on all things evolution and design by going to evolutionviews.org as well. This has been ID the Future. I'm Joshua Youngkin. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.